Well, thank you everyone for coming out early this morning. Obviously, I am not going to live up to the PowerPoint standards just set, but I assume that this is not your first public presentation either. So. As you can see, my project is titled The Molecular Characterization of Giardia and Cryptosporidium Isolates from Children and Cattle in Southern India. And I was there in Vellore, Tamil Nadu for most of the last year through a Fogarty International Clinical Research Scholars Program Fellowship. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of corporate interest in understanding the zoonotic transmission of parasitic diarrheal diseases, so nothing to say there. You probably all know that Giardia and Cryptosporidium are protozoal parasites that can infect a wide range of animal hosts and can be found all over the world. They're both spread through fecal-oral transmission of the cysts and the oocysts, and that usually happens through contaminated water and food, but can also just be directly fecal-oral if the conditions are right. Most of the species and genotypes of both these parasites are host-specific, which means that if you have a human species, then it just cycles within humans, or likewise with all the other animals out there. But there are others that we think are spread zoonotically between species. Giardia, we're really only concerned about one of the six species. That's Giardia duodenalis, and that's because it's the only one that infects humans. And for Giardia and Crypto, the interesting thing is that under the microscope, we can't really differentiate between any of the species, or especially the subfamilies or genotypes. And so until the last 5 or 10 years, we were really just able to say, oh, there's a Giardia, there's a Cryptosporidium, and that made us not really understand how the epidemiology worked, because we didn't know that there were all these different types that might be spread in different ways. The infection with Giardia can cause a whole range of gastrointestinal manifestations, and it just depends on that particular isolate's virulence and the immune status of the host. We're really just concerned about two of the assemblage groups, which are A and B, and that's kind of like a subspecies within the Giardia duodenalis, because those are the only ones that infect humans. And again, the zoonotic potential has been suspected for a long time, but there's never been really conclusive evidence to show that it does occur. Cryptosporidium has a lot wider diversity. There's 15 described species and a whole range of different genotypes. And most of the human infections of importance are caused by C. hominis, which is a human host specific, so no zoonotic transmission there, and the C. parvum, which for a long time has been assumed to have a zoonotic cycle. And crypto in most people is just going to cause a self-limiting diarrhea just a few days and then you're over it, but it's risen in importance over the last 20, 30 years, especially with the HIV/AIDS pandemic, in that these immunosuppressed people aren't able to fight off the crypto infection normally, and so it's really risen in importance, and there's been a lot more research going into it. It's also significant just from a veterinary perspective, because it causes diarrhea in young ruminants, calves and sheep and goats. And the final interesting thing about that is that there's no drugs which can really consistently treat it or get rid of it. And so, especially in people who aren't able to fight it off on their own, then we've had this long problem of not really having a good way to get rid of it. So why did I do this study? Basically, my aim is to investigate Giardia and Cryptosporidium in humans and cattle in a rural area of southern India using molecular techniques. And this is based on the hypothesis that this zoonotic transmission does occur, and that we'll find the same species and genotypes in the children and calves from these particular areas in a specified time period. There haven't been any previous studies which have shown this detailed of concordance between the animal and human samples. Most of the studies are either looking at humans or animals, and that kind of goes to this whole veterinary public health thing. There's not a lot of dialogue or co-studies between the two sides. And again, going back to the changes in the last 5 or 10 years, the new molecular techniques we have really make it necessary that we go back and relook at how a lot of these pathogens work in their natural state, so that we can understand what, if any, the importance of the zoonotic transmission is to the epidemiology. When I first got to India, then I had kind of a very detailed and intense study design, which ended up being pared down quite a bit when I began to realize some of the limitations of working on the ground there, and what it eventually came up with was 56 households in 5 villages outside of Valor, which the main inclusion factor was that there was a child under 5 years old and at least one calf under 6 months old. We chose those age cutoffs because other studies have shown that those are the populations most likely to be shedding higher numbers of organisms, so hopefully going to find more in them. And went out here on my trusty motorbike with field workers who are helping me out to collect fecal samples from the children and the calves one time per month for 3 months, and brought the samples back to the lab that same day, looked at them under the microscope to get an idea if there was going to be any crypto or giardia there, and then stored the rest of it for the molecular work, which also did over there in India. We extracted the DNA from the feces using a pre-made kit from QIAGEN, and they have a slightly modified method that they've developed there, which seems to be a little more successful in getting the DNA out. And then we used a PCR RFLP for both the Giardia at the TPI gene and for the crypto at the SSU rRNA locus to identify the species and a little bit more about the molecular type that we were dealing with. For the Cryptosporidium, unfortunately, it was pretty disappointing. That was initially what my main focus of the study was going to be, as you can see from the title and abstract. But as the weeks progressed, we just weren't finding any crypto, especially in the children. And so, fortunately, we'd been noticing that there was a lot of Giardia, noting that down. And so that turned out to be more of interest for this study. There were 3 calves, which were microscopy positive for the Cryptosporidium. And then we just had a few of the children and the calves that were PCR positive, but there wasn't great correlation between the microscopy and the PCR, so really can't make any great conclusions about that. For the Giardia, on the other hand, we had pretty high prevalence, about 30% in the children and 15% in the calves, and that's a good bit higher than a lot of background kind of infection that we've expected from other studies. And then the PCR correlated really well. Pretty much all of the microscopy positive samples that we had also amplified PCR for the Giardia, and almost all of our samples in both the children and the calves were from the assemblage group B, which is interesting because in a lot of the world it's the assemblage group A, which mostly infects humans, although they do find B as well, but you can see that pretty much all of our children and most of our calves were the type B. One interesting thing is that there are 4 children that came up positive for both A and B types, which shows co-infection, which has been documented before, but not too frequently. And then really the most important thing for my whole study is that there are 5 households in which the Giardia assemblage group B was found in both the children and the calves at the same time during my study. And so that it can imply that maybe there's some transmission going on between them. Of course, we need a lot more detailed epidemiological study to really say that conclusively, which hopefully will be happening. As I said, the Cryptosporidium, nothing too important to say about that. We couldn't say anything about the zoonotic transmission, mostly because of the lack of positive isolates, and that has a lot to do with just my low sample size and the time I had for the study. Whereas for the Giardia, the really interesting bit is the assemblage B found in both the children and the calves. And again, we can't know if it was the children giving it to the calves, if it was the calves giving it to the children, or if they both got it from a contaminated water source or what. If I had been able to really take into account all the factors that I was originally going to try to study, then we'd have a little bit more light into that. But that would just take a much longer and bigger study than I was able to do. So some of the limitations you've seen there, quite a bit of them. The main difficulty is that it's hard to detect the oocysts and the cysts in 1 monthly fecal sample from non-clinical individuals, especially for parasitic diseases like this where there's intermittent shedding. We couldn't expect that we're going to get it even if they did happen to be infected at that time. And so that's a big limitation. It'd be a lot better to collect over 3 days or something and pool those samples together and look for it. Another challenge was in extracting the DNA from the animal feces. Even though there's been a lot of methods described around the world, mostly in developed countries, for getting DNA out of animal feces, they've had a lot more difficulty in India doing that. And we think that it's probably because these cattle and the goats they've studied also are eating a much wider variety of both plant material and human garbage. And so there's potentially a lot more PCR inhibitors and other factors in there that can make it difficult to both get the DNA out and then to work with it in, with these molecular techniques. Finally, my low sample size and the time frame that I had for the study limited the ability to say a lot of importance about the presence of the Zoonotic transmission. And even though it's kind of disappointing looking back at it, I think the nature of the Fogarty Fellowship is more of a training experience so that we hopefully pick up some tools to do a more real 3, 5, 10 year study at some point in the future where I could do something a little bit more enlightening on this topic. So the significance, like I said, it's the first report of Giardia, of really any assemblage type, in humans and cattle from a set period of time in a defined geographic area. And really, there aren't many studies with many pathogens at all that have shown this population of humans living with these animals are infected with the same pathogens. And so that's interesting, and it'd be neat to look into other organisms with that kind of work as well. We are doing more multi-locus genotyping and actually genetic sequencing of the Giardia isolates that we found from those households, and that will enable us to know if it was actually the exact same organism which is infecting both the children and the calves or not, because right now we just have it down to the assemblage group B, but we'd like to know if it's fully the same whole genotype that was infecting them. And they're going to continue this study for another at least rainy season and dry season in India to increase the number of isolates that we have to work with. So a big thing that I would probably change would be to focus more on clinically affected individuals, and we could do that just working with the hospital there that I was based at and with the veterinary professionals to get reports of animals and humans with diarrhea and get the samples there and then test the rest of the humans and animals in that household, just because that's going to enable us to get a much higher number of isolates to work with and look at. So of course I couldn't have done this without a lot of help from everyone. The NIH Fogarty program was great in supporting me, and I was the first vet student to be part of this, and now there are a couple more this past year, so I'm hoping that begin to expand that aspect of it a little more. And my advisors at both my institution in India and at Tufts here in the U.S., and finally all my lab mates and the field workers who help me every day, and definitely couldn't have done it without them. So thank you very much. There was. Okay, so the question was about the water sources in these villages, and most of them did have some sort of public water supply that came from a well, and it was pumped for a couple hours every day. But other studies that this institution I was at have done have shown that the treatment that they do for that water is pretty much ineffectual, and there's people get it really from all over the place. Some people have their own private wells, and so for the humans it might be a little better, but for the animals they're drinking out of anything, of course. So yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Beal. I'm PH prospective DVM, and I have two questions. The mm-hmm. first one is, did you do any environmental sampling of the water and test it to see if the same Giardia or Cryptosporidium were in it?
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is, do you think that the time of year, like in terms of the rainy season versus non, would have an effect on whether you would find it?
Yeah, so the question is about whether the rainy season versus dry season. We were hoping to do across both a rainy season and dry season. Unfortunately, couldn't really get the study underway until the rain was done. And so my samples were just from the dry season, but we do suspect that there might be more transmission happening during the rainy season. And then the other question, sorry.
The other question was, did you sample any of
Oh, yeah. So that initially in my plan, I was going to be getting samples from the water from all these villages also, but my advisors over there actually said that they've done that and they pretty much always find crypto and Giardia in the water, and so they're not going to be able to say a lot about that.
You want to make it short.
Hi, I'm Bruce Gardner. I'm from the Fogarty International Center, and our proud first veterinarian in the Scholars Program. I want to announce we also now are just starting a postdoctoral program for 1 year clinical research fellowship for people doing overseas work. My one question is, I think you said you were going to look at this, but if you began with a clinical illness, either in an animal or a human, mm-hmm. you could do a case control study mm-hmm. that would probably give you a higher yield of data.
Yeah, that's true. We'd like to do a more powerful study for sure in the future.
So does this mean that we're going to have 40 fellows presenting at this conference mm-hmm. every year, and I have that expectation to hand mm-hmm. off? So you're going to have to be my person to get them, right. And you're going to support getting them to the American Public Health Association. Thank you very much.